Emotional bites. Feelings are not facts. They're data. And we've gotten a really fascinating collection of research on emotions from you guys. And we thought, you know what? Let's do a deep dive. Let's like break it all down, kind of like a crash course on this whole emotional granularity thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because, you know, for the longest time, scientists thought that emotions, they're universal, like hardwired right into our brains. But it seems like that whole idea is starting to fall apart.
So it's not just as simple as like happy, sad, angry. Like we always thought.
Well, not exactly, no. There was this one study that actually found that even facial expressions, you know, like the things we usually think of as universal, even those, they're interpreted differently in different cultures. Like, you know, someone might furrow their brow like this. In one culture, that could just mean they're feeling sad.
Okay.
But in another culture, that same brow furrow could mean they're angry, you know?
So how are we even supposed to, like, make sense of our feelings then? If they're not, you know, just like pre-programmed into us.
That's where this whole concept of core affect comes into play. Imagine like a spectrum, like a really basic emotional spectrum. On one side, you got those pleasant feelings and on the other end, the unpleasant ones. And then there's this other dimension that runs from feeling like activated, you know, energized to feeling like deactivated or maybe even a little sleepy.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get that. So we're all like, you know, experiencing this core affect, but then what?
Well, think of this emotional granularity thing. It's like being a chef, but with a well-stocked spice rack.
Yeah.
You can label all your feelings and understand them with so much more precision, you know, instead of just saying like, ugh, I feel bad. You can pinpoint it. You know, yeah. Are you feeling disappointed? Are you frustrated? Or maybe even something even more complex than that.
Oh, so it's like having a more detailed, like more nuanced emotional vocabulary.
Exactly. You got it. And you know what they say, the more nuanced your vocabulary is, the better you are at understanding your emotions and managing them.
So where did this whole idea of emotional granularity even come from in the first place? Did someone just wake up one day and think like, you know what we need? We need more words for feelings.
Well, the term itself, you're right, it's fairly new, but the whole concept actually has roots that go way back, like to ancient philosophy. I mean, even Aristotle, he talked about how important it was to be able to tell the difference between different types of anger, you know?
Wow, so this whole idea has been brewing for centuries.
It really has. But when it comes to the scientific study of it, that really didn't take off until like the 1980s, 1990s with researchers like Lisa Feldman Barrett, you know. She's done some amazing work, really challenging that traditional way we think about emotions.
Wasn't she the one who did that research that like found that there are no distinct areas in the brain for each emotion?
Yeah.
Like anger or sadness?
Yeah, that's her. It's true. If emotions were really, truly hardwired, like we used to think, then you'd expect to find certain brain regions, you know, dedicated to each one. But all the research, it shows that's not actually the case at all. It's more like our brains, they construct our emotional experiences based on this whole bunch of different factors, you know, including like what's going on in our bodies, all our past experiences, even our culture.
So it's not like there's this anger center in the brain that just like lights up when you get mad.
Well, not really. Although, you know, some brain areas like the amygdala, they do play a role in processing emotions, but they're not like dedicated to any specific emotion.
But our brains have to be doing something to create these emotional experiences, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where this idea of construction comes in.
Construction.
Instead of thinking about emotions as these pre-programmed responses, imagine that they're being built, actively constructed by our brains based on a whole bunch of different factors. Those factors, they include things like, you know, our bodily sensations, all of our past experiences, our current situation, and even our cultural context.
So it's not like we're just passively receiving these emotions. Our brains are actually creating them.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big change from how we used to think about emotions.
You know what this is reminding me of? That quote from Lisa Feldman Barrett's book, How Emotions Are Made.
Uh-huh.
She says, your brain isn't just passively taking in sensory input. It's actively constructing your experience.
That's a great quote. It really sums up the whole constructionist view of emotions perfectly.
Okay, so our brains are constructing our emotions. But what does that actually look like? You know, how does that process even happen?
Well, picture this. Your brain is like a detective trying to solve a mystery. It's constantly gathering clues from your body, from the environment, and it's trying to figure out what's going on.
So, like, if my heart starts racing and my palms get all sweaty, my brain might think that means I'm feeling scared or anxious.
Exactly. But it's not just looking at those physical clues. It's also taking into account other things, like your past experiences with similar situations.
So if I've had a panic attack before, my brain might be more likely to interpret those physical sensations as anxiety.
You got it. And it also thinks about what's happening around you. It's a constant process of prediction and interpretation. And most of the time, it's happening without us even realizing it.
This is fascinating. It's like our brains are these incredible prediction machines, always trying to figure out what's going to happen next and getting us ready for it. But how does all this connect back to emotional granularity? How does having a more nuanced emotional vocabulary, how does that affect this whole construction process?
Well, think of it like this. The more words you have to describe your emotions, you know, the more precise your brain's prediction is going to be. It's kind of like having this high-resolution map instead of this, you know, blurry one. You can navigate all that emotional terrain so much better, with more accuracy, more confidence. And, you know, that can make a huge difference in how well you actually cope.
But, you know, let's be realistic. Sometimes life just throws us these curveballs. And you know what? Sometimes we're just going to feel overwhelmed no matter how much emotional granularity we've got. What about those times?
Oh, those moments, they're definitely going to happen. But you know what? Even then, emotional granularity can be really helpful. Think about it this way. When we're feeling overwhelmed, it's often because our brains are just trying to process way too much information all at once.
It's like having like a million tabs open in your brain.
And emotional granularity, it kind of helps us to, you know, close a few of those tabs, helps us focus on what's really important. Just taking that moment to, you know, name your feelings, acknowledge them, it creates a little space between you and those really overwhelming emotions. It helps you step back, gain a little perspective, and then you can choose how to respond in a better way. Imagine you're driving a car and your only options are like slamming on the brakes or flooring the gas pedal. That's kind of like trying to deal with your emotions without much granularity, you know? But if you have more control, you know, more nuance, then you can adjust your speed, you can steer more precisely, you can avoid all those, you know, emotional crashes.
So having more emotional granularity, it basically gives us more control over, you know, how we react to our feelings.
Exactly. It's all about having more choices. Instead of just being reactive, you can actually be responsive.
But let's be real here. It sounds pretty complex. How do we actually develop this skill? Where do we even begin?
There are definitely things you can start doing today. First, just start paying more attention to your feelings instead of just brushing them off or labeling them with like these generic terms. Try to be more specific.
So it makes me think about all the times I've just felt stressed out without really taking the time to figure out what was underneath that feeling.
It's a common experience. Don't be afraid to, you know, look at one of those emotion wheels to expand your vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. Those emotion wheels are great. They're like a map. You know, visual map of all the different emotions.
And journaling is a really powerful tool, too. You can take a few minutes every day to just think about your experiences and describe your feelings in detail.
So it's kind of like exercising our emotional muscles, but through writing.
Exactly. Another tip is to pay attention to how other people express their emotions. You know, notice the little things, the nuances in their language. That's just a way of thinking about all the tiny little units of information our brains are working with, you know? When we feel overwhelmed, it's usually because we're trying so hard to suppress or deny our emotions.
It's about creating this more positive and resilient kind of baseline emotionally.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like emotional granularity is helping us to build a stronger foundation, you know, for mental health and well-being in the long run.
But how does all of this connect to like that whole idea of emotional bites?
Our brains are always taking in information from our senses and then connecting it to emotions. That's an emotional bite. Each emotional experience we have leaves a little imprint, a bite of information that informs how we interpret and respond to the world around us. The more precisely you can label, like actually put a name to your feelings, the better you are at understanding what's going on, you know, in your brain, in your body, everything.
So our emotional bites are like these like little time capsules, you know, they capture moments and feelings from our past.
That's a great way to think about it. And those time capsules, they're always there influencing how we see the world around us, how we react to it. You know, the more we understand those emotional bites, those little time capsules, the more we understand how they're affecting everything. It's not that every single reaction we have is directly caused by a past experience, but those past experiences do create a sort of filter through which we view our present emotions.
So it's like these emotional bites can make us more sensitive to certain feelings or situations based on what we've been through. So if we can get a grip on those emotional bites, learn to like decode them.
Yeah.
We can actually rewrite our emotional script.
That's the idea.
I like that.
Most of us, we tend to lump our emotions into these broad categories, right? Like good or bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Think of it like learning to taste wine.
Okay.
At first, you might just say, this is red.
Right.
But with practice, you start to discern the subtle notes of cherry, oak, or even leather.
So instead of just feeling bad, I might be able to recognize the specific flavors of disappointment, regret, feeling ashamed or anxious or frustrated.
Precisely. And just as sommelier uses their vocabulary to appreciate the complexities of a fine wine, we can develop our emotional vocabulary to understand the richness of our inner experience. Emotional granularity gives us the power to move beyond those like blanket statements like, I'm stressed, and instead understand the specific triggers, thoughts, and behaviors that are fueling those feelings. The more nuanced your language becomes, the more nuanced your understanding of those emotions will be.
It's like adding more colors to our emotional palette.
One of the key benefits of emotional granularity is its link to better emotion regulation.
Meaning if I can pinpoint what I'm feeling, I'm more likely to manage it effectively.
Precisely. If you can recognize the specific blend of those emotional bites, you can develop a more targeted coping strategy.
Wow, this has been amazing. I feel like I have this whole new understanding of, you know, how emotions actually work. You've definitely given us a lot to think about today. I feel like I'm leaving with all these new tools for understanding and navigating my emotions. And hopefully our listeners are too.
It's been so great talking with you, you know, diving into all of this. I always love exploring how complex human emotions really are. It's fascinating.
And stay curious about the intricate ways emotional bites weave the tapestry of your being.